Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome back to another edition of Phillies Today. Kyle Forsini here with you guys on a Tuesday morning. And last week I talked a little bit about how Jeff Hoffman was rumored to maybe be going to the Atlanta Braves, how I did not want that to happen. If he was going to go anywhere, I would prefer that Hoffman did not go somewhere in the NL East. And we got that news shortly after with Jeff Hoffman signing a 3-year deal with the Toronto Blue Jays to go be part of their team. Now, whether that includes starting for them, whether that includes being in the bullpen for them, regardless, it leaves the Phillies in a little bit of a pickle. It leaves the Phillies in a little bit of a hole not having Jeff Hoffman on your roster anymore, not having him in the back end of your bullpen to be one of those guys that can get you high leverage outs when it comes to really important spots in a game. They don't have that in him anymore. And kudos to Jeff Hoffman for going out there and getting a lot of money. Kudos to him for getting a 3-year deal with a team, especially if that's going to be as a reliever. And he wrote a very nice message on Instagram and everything, you know, thanking the Philly fans and whatnot. Obviously, Philly was the place where he was able to get his career back on track and kind of get back to that first round pick that he was, I believe back in 2010 is when Jeff Hoffman was drafted, if I'm not mistaken. But regardless, he is now gone. It leaves a void, in my opinion, in the Phillies bullpen. I still think they need to make some sort of move if they want to bolster their bullpen to get it to be another strength of the team like it's been in years past. Now, I mean, you can argue that Caleb Cotham can work his magic and they're able to kind of turn something into nothing into something, I should say, as they've done kind of like with Jeff Hoffman, a guy who was nothing. He was in the minor leagues. He was throwing BP to Bryce Harper while he's rehabbing from Tommy John. And all of a sudden, Bryce Harper says, why is this guy not on our roster? This guy's really good. We should have him be one of the key pieces of our bullpen. And they turn him into that. And Jeff Hoffman becomes one of the best relievers for the Phillies over the last two seasons. You know, they're going to need to try and find a way to do that with somebody this year. Because with the loss of Hoffman, now your bullpen basically consists of Joe Ross, Matt Strom, Jose Ruiz, Jose Alvarado, Jordan Romano, Tanner Banks, Orion Kerkering. Right. So it's not like that bullpen's incredibly strong. You don't have Estevez anymore. You don't have Hoffman anymore. I mean, I guess you could throw Taijuan Walker in there. Is he going to pitch out of the bullpen? Is he going to pitch for the Phillies at all this year? I'll make a little bit of a prediction on that. I think Taijuan Walker, and I've said it before where, you know, bringing in Lizardo, even Joe Ross, who could kind of be that swing guy who can come and be a starter if he needs to, but he can mostly just pitch out of the bullpen. The more I've thought about it as we've gotten closer to the season and the more I've thought about it as days have gone by, Taijuan Walker is going to start at some point for the Phillies this year. I mean, you just know it's coming. He's going to have to make a start for the Phillies. We're going to have to watch him again. We're going to want to gouge our eyes out watching the TV with Taijuan Walker being the starting pitcher for the Phillies on a given day. I mean, it's just tough to watch. It's tough to have to watch him pitch in Major League Baseball, but he's going to have to do it at some point for the Phillies this year. But again, that's kind of what your bullpen is right now. Again, I'll read it off to you again. Joe Ross, Matt Strom, Jose Ruiz, Jose Alvarado, Jordan Romano, Tanner Banks, Orion Kerkering. And then it's going to kind of go from there. I mean, who are you going to have that's going to be able to get you high leverage out, that's going to be able to be the closer? They still don't have that. I know Romano, however you pronounce it, he was that guy in Toronto, right? Like, he was one of the best relievers in Blue Jays history. He had set, I think, the record for the most saves in a three-year span for the Blue Jays. I mean, he was very, very good for a long period of time there. But then he had to get surgery last year, and he was out for the majority of the year. And he's coming off of that, and when you're banking on him not losing his velocity, you're banking on him being able to regain the form that he had multiple years ago in hopes that he can be a key contributor and a catalyst for this bullpen for the Phillies, feels risky. Feels risky when there was somebody out there that you know had done it before, that you know could do it for you as he's done in years past, than Jeff Hoffman. Now, he did fail two physicals, Jeff Hoffman. So the Orioles had something in place where they were looking like they were going to be the team that was going to sign him, bring him in. Turns out he failed, I believe it was multiple physicals before he ended up signing with the Blue Jays. So there was a red flag with Jeff Hoffman. And I believe it was his shoulder that he failed the physicals with. Shoulder or elbow. Regardless, it was one of those things that you don't want to fail. You don't want to have a reliever with that kind of issue on your team. If he's not 100% healthy and it's something that involves his throwing arm, yeah, I think it's a smarter move to kind of just keep your distance a little bit. See if he's going to test the market. How is it going to go? Is he going to get a big deal from somebody? If he does, you say goodbye, good luck. But if he doesn't get a big deal from somebody, maybe you can bring him back on some sort of lesser deal. That was never going to happen, unfortunately, with Hoffman, just because of the career that he had with the Phillies. He was a hot commodity. Teams were out there and they wanted him, and they ended up getting him. But him failing physicals makes me at least think the Phillies probably knew something. They knew that this was an issue, and so they weren't out there trying to make a deal to bring him back because of the fact that he might not be 100% healthy. He might not be the reliever that he once was. And then also you throw in the fact, too, that like I mentioned last week, you know, he wants to be a starter. Jeff Hoffman was drafted to be a starter. He wants to try and rekindle that and become a starting pitcher again in Major League Baseball. And if that's the case, it's just not going to happen with the Phillies. I mean, they've got a really, really strong rotation, one that I've been on record as saying I think is probably the best in baseball as long as it stays healthy. He's probably going to not fit into that rotation for the Phillies if that was what he ended up wanting to do. So Phillies part ways with Jeff Hoffman. It stinks. It's sad. It's unfortunate that they weren't able to get done what they needed to get done in terms of winning the World Series. I mean, they had really good teams the last two seasons, Hoffman being part of that at the back end. You had a back end of your bullpen 2 years ago as Hoffman, Strom, Kimbrel, who was very good, and even though everybody hates him for what he did in Arizona, and I can't sit here and tell you that you're wrong, he was very good for a lot of that season. And Alvarado, you throw him in too, was a very strong back end of the bullpen. Very strong back end of the bullpen. And then if you go back to this past year, again, you had Hoffman and Strom who were all-stars for crying out loud. I mean, how often are you getting two relievers from the same team being an all-star for you? But those guys both were. You had Estevez in the back end of the bullpen, Alvarado once again, even though he faltered a little bit at times during the season, Orion Kerkering, who was great. Like, their bullpen was absolutely dynamite for a large part of the season. I know they imploded in the playoffs, and you just can't simply predict that. You know, if you're Rob Thompson, there's not a whole lot you can do when the guys that have given you high leverage outs game after game, night after night, can't do it all of a sudden once the playoffs rolls around. You know, he's kind of handcuffed there. There's not a whole lot that you can do. But their bullpen was a strong suit, and that was a reason that they were winning a lot of these games. I mean, does anybody remember 2020 when the Phillies had like the worst bullpen in the history of Major League Baseball? And it was never worse than them. And you remember all the blown games that they had night in, night out. It was like if they had a 6-run lead in the ninth inning, you couldn't feel safe because you never knew what was going to happen with Brandon Workman and Heath Hembree and those kinds of guys who were just terrible. Now, I'm not saying that's what the Phillies bullpen is this year. That's obviously a much more dramatic issue. But I'm afraid that their bullpen maybe won't be as good as it has been the last couple of years. And we've kind of taken it for granted just how good it really was since 2022, really, when they were kind of able to just shut everybody down once it got to that point. I mean, they were even rotating Zach Eflin in, if you remember, to be the closer at the end of 2022 in the postseason. So it might be a little different this year, which is okay because you've got Caleb Cotham. And you like to think that he can always turn some nobody into something, even if he was a guy that has been on the outs in baseball for a long time and hasn't had his best stuff. Cotham will find a way to get the best out of him. And it might not happen right away. I mean, if you remember, they were bringing in like Neftali Feliz a couple of years ago. Remember him? Guys that, you know, you're not always going to hit on these guys. You're not always, you know, Connor Brogdon is somebody that had struggled. Andrew Bellotti, another guy who kind of struggled a little bit. So Caleb Cotham isn't some magic worker where he just gets the best out of everybody, but he certainly gets a lot out of guys that you might not expect to more often than not. I think more often than not, guys are succeeding under him rather than faltering. And so you have to kind of have a little bit of faith in him. But I mean, as you can tell, the bullpen is one of my worries for the Phillies going into the season. And I think the bullpen is a worry for a lot of teams. It's very unpredictable. I could be saying this and they could go out there and have the best bullpen ERA in baseball this season and you know, break the record for saves or something. Like, it's very tough to judge a bullpen prior to the season being here. It's even tough to judge it on a night-in, night-out basis. I mean, we've seen guys like Jose Alvarado, who has been great for large stretches of a season, who then will just completely crumble and will lose it. He will lose his velocity, lose his control. All of a sudden, he's hitting guys, he's walking guys, or he, you know, very rarely does Alvarado get hit around a lot. It's always the control with him. It's always the fact that he might lose control of the zone. He might not have his best stuff on a day in and day out basis, but he goes through large portions of the season being great. And then all of a sudden out of nowhere, he just kind of loses it. So bullpens are very tough to predict. You don't know exactly what's going to happen with them. It's tough to say that it's going to be your number one worry for a team, because like I just said, you don't know if they're going to be good or if they're going to be bad until the season rolls around. You'll find out a little bit of that in spring training. And I think with having Joe Ross here as well, kind of a guy that can do both, he can pitch in the starting rotation or he can pitch out of the bullpen. He was very good for Milwaukee out of their bullpen last season. And I believe in Washington as well, he pitched out of the bullpen a couple of times. So I mean, he's somebody that I think can provide value. Jose Ruiz, another guy who, I mean, just kind of figured it out since he's been a Philly. I mean, he had a 3.71 ERA last year. He was 5-1. He did have a save mixed in there too. But Ruiz was solid. Ruiz was a guy who was a journeyman. He had pitched for San Diego. He had pitched for the White Sox. He had pitched for Arizona in 2023. Like, but came here and the Phillies were able to get the best out of him. The Phillies were able to morph him into something where he was a very solid reliever for them. And he's somebody who I didn't get. He didn't gain my trust every time he came into the ballgame for a long time. But at some point, you know, you got to kind of look at it and say, no, this guy's actually pretty good. This guy, I trust him. I believe he's going to get the job done every time he goes out there. Christopher Sanchez was kind of the same thing. Sanchez was great in 2023. You know, he was always kind of the guy that would go up and come down and go up and come down and go up and come down. He would make a spot start for you. If you ever had a doubleheader, you knew that it was going to be the day when Christopher Sanchez was going to be on the mound. Like, and then all of a sudden, he just kind of gained your trust. And all of a sudden, he continued to succeed and succeed and succeed in times when you didn't really expect him to, and you have no choice but to put your faith in him and to have your trust. And then all of a sudden he's starting game two of a playoff series, you know, against the Mets last year in the NLDS and pitching well in that game too. So Sanchez out of the blue just kind of became a guy that we can really trust. So maybe we'll see more of those guys, in the bullpen as well. And we will not have it be as much of a worry as it seems like it could be right now on January 14th, before about a month and a half before the season starts. A lot can change in that time period. A lot can change when spring training comes around, and that's what you have to hold your hat on and hold hope for, that we'll find out a lot about this bullpen and see if they're going to make another move to bolster it. In other news, which I know will rile up some feathers with some people, certainly will rile up some feathers with me, when I saw it on social media this week, I said, okay, people are going to get excited for absolutely no reason. The Phillies are going to get fooled into getting excited over this clown. Johan Rojas was officially awarded with his Gold Glove and Rookie of the Year award for the Dominican Winter League that he was playing in this obviously off season. Don't get your hopes up. Just don't. And I don't think, I think a lot of people out there, a lot of you listening, know that you're smart fans. Philadelphia's got very smart fans, obviously. You're not going to fall for the Johan Rojas, you know, trap that the Phillies are going to try to set for you, that beat writers or whoever will try and set for you. He's not, he can't be your everyday center fielder come the start of the season. And I know that he's not going to be. I know that he's going to platoon with Brandon Marsh, and that'll probably, I mean, Brandon Marsh was ranked, by the way, the number six center fielder in baseball. So that goes to show you how depleted center field is in this league. I mean, to have Brandon Marsh be ranked the number six center fielder in all of baseball. And I mean, Marsh is a fine player. He's by no means terrible. You know, he's a guy that you can have on your team and win. He can contribute a little bit, especially early in the season. Brandon Marsh typically gets off to a really hot start in April and then settles down for the rest of the season and then kind of falls off a cliff at times and strikes out a lot. And then all of a sudden he's able to find it again. You know, regardless, he was ranked the number sixth center fielder in baseball, which just feels insane to me. It really does. I mean, how could that be possible? Number one was Julio Rodriguez for the Mariners, who I think is a good player. I don't think he's a great player. So you can tell that center field in baseball is a position that not a lot of teams have the answer at on their squad. It's kind of a void in baseball. It's like a black hole type position for that to be who's ranked where for those rankings. But he was ranked the number six center fielder in all of baseball, and he'll be platooning. You know, he's not like a guy that's going to be out there and play every day, which is even crazier too. Like that's the way I think of Brandon Marsh. I don't think of Brandon Marsh as an everyday player. I think Brandon Marsh is solid. I think Brandon Marsh can be a good player. I think he can contribute to your team in a lot of different ways. He's still a guy that's going to platoon. And unfortunately, who he's going to platoon with is Johan Rojas. And I know that it's, you know, I'm a broken record saying this with Johan Rojas. I get it. He's not going to be out there for his offense. He's not a guy that you are expecting to hit 15 home runs and drive in 60 RBIs from the center field position while playing great defense. No, that's not going to happen. I get it. You know, Rojas is going to be a guy that you have out there for your defense. But I've been on record saying this numerous times since doing this show. They went to the World Series in 2022 with bad defense. Kyle Schwarber played left field. Rhys Hoskins was dropping throws to first from a double play ball in the postseason. Now, you were getting great play from Gene Segura at second base. I'll give him that. But, I mean, a lot of the positions that were on the field for you that season were not good. We're not good at playing defense. They hit the crap out of the ball for a lot of that postseason. They pitched their butts off for a long time in 2022. But defense was not the strong suit of that team. And look how far they've gotten. That's the furthest they got in the playoffs since they've been making it. And then the priority, for whatever reason, became defense for the Phillies. It was like, we got to get Schwarber out of left field. We got to put Harper at first base because he's a great first baseman now. You know, you need that defense there. You can't have Hoskins be misplaying balls. And look, Hoskins did that in 22, like I mentioned. He did whiff on a ball that was hit to him in the Braves series. That was the only loss of the series for the Phillies there. When there was the hit for, I think it was Matt Olson. Someone, he hit one down the right field line, or just kind of like right at Hoskins, and it goes underneath of his glove, and then everybody rounds the bases, and the Phillies lose the game, and then he makes up for it because he had a great bat. You know, he makes up for it because he hits four or five home runs in the NLCS and is able to power you, not win the MVP, obviously, because of what happened with Harper in the game five, but be the second guy there. If there was going to be an MVP, he was going to be the number two guy. If Harper doesn't hit that home run in game five, Hoskins probably wins it. The NLCS MVP. So this infatuation with defense has never made sense to me. I don't think defense is winning you a championship. I know, look, that's the saying in football, right? Defense wins you championships. We're seeing it right now with the Eagles, with how good that defense is. And the fact that they are keeping them in a game when the offense might not be clicking on all cylinders. Clicking on all cylinders? Firing on all cylinders? I forget how that saying goes. But you know what I mean? When the offense isn't playing great, the defense is able to step up for the Eagles, and the defense is able to kind of win them games like they just did against the Packers. That's like the mantra that the Phillies are going with. That doesn't make sense to me. Why? You've got Kepler because you think he can provide you a better approach to the plate. Maybe he plays a good left field. You know, he's going to be opposite those guys in left field while they platoon in center field. But then having Stott go play second base because you think his defense is better there. You struggle with defense at shortstop with Trey Turner. But, I mean, even Alec Boehm is taking leaps and bounds defensively. Castellanos for all the gripes that I'll give him and the fact that look, he doesn't have any speed out there. He's not somebody that's going to be making the crazy plays in right field, but he plays a pretty solid right field. He's got no arm out there, which is tough, but you know, Castellanos plays a pretty solid right field. And then you're trying to bolster all that with a great center field defense. Where's it gotten you? It hasn't gotten you anywhere. I want somebody out there that can hit me home runs, a guy that's going to be out there and it's going to get on base, and a guy that can steal bags. You're not getting that with Rojas, and you're kind of getting that a little bit with Marsh, but for a guy that's a platoon player and a guy that's not going to play the entire season out there, it's tough. And I wish that they would prioritize more going out and getting the bats, because although the majority of the money that's on this roster is committed to the bats, right? Trey Turner, Kyle Schwarber, Nick Castellanos, Bryce Harper, JT Realmuto, guys like that, the money is tied up in the bats. It's not necessarily, and they gave a lot of money up for the rotation too, to be where that's at. But the majority of the money that's on this team is with the bats, right? You know, they did sign Wheeler to the extension. They did sign Nola to the big contract. They did give Christopher Sanchez a contract. But for the most part, where the money's at with this team, it's with the bats. And I wish they would just continue to go all in with that. I wish they would have explored an option to try and get a guy like Kyle Tucker. Look, I mean, I was a prospect believer and for in a lot of ways still am. Maybe they have this belief that Justin Crawford is going to come up and he's going to be the center fielder of the future for them once he's ready. And they think that they can still win now with the team that they have. And they're excited for what's to come and how they're going to get better from having these young guys come up in Andrew Painter and Aiden Miller and Justin Crawford and maybe a few others. So maybe that's what they're thinking. Maybe they believe that they're going to get that center fielder in a couple of years. Just right now, they have to get by with what it is, and they don't want to give up these guys because they think that they're going to be big contributors for them in the future. Now, that's not the Dave Dombrowski way. That's not what Dombrowski's done in every other stop he's had in his career outside of the Phillies. You know, he's kind of bucked a lot of trends since he's been with the Phils and since he's been their president of baseball ops. He hasn't really done the Dombrowski special of trading away the farm system to make you very good right now. He's steered clear of doing that. Now, whether that's a directive from ownership, I highly doubt it is. I think that's really just the Dombrowski. I think John Middleton is hands off. He's got the money, but he's not going to try and be making any decisions. He's not going to be in anything like that. He's going to trust in what Dave Dombrowski wants to do and go with it that way. But I wish they would have explored something for a guy like Kyle Tucker or for a guy like Cody Bellinger, something where you could have got a better bat in your outfield, a guy that would play pretty solid defense as well and not had to rely on Rojas and Marsh and particularly Rojas. I mean, I was very angry last year that they basically gave him the starting job out of spring training or going into spring training. They were very convinced that that was going to be their guy. That would be the center fielder of the future or at least the next couple of years that they believed was going to take the next step. And he was going to take the next step offensively. And the defense that he provides out there for you is obviously great. Nobody's saying it's not. But what's been the number one issue for this team once they got to the playoffs? It's been offense. And I know people make the argument time in and time out that the big dogs, the guys that are getting paid that money, they need to produce if you're going to win. If they don't win, it's because those guys didn't produce. It's not because Johan Rojas didn't do anything. It's not because Rojas struck out, you know, in the fourth inning of a game. And I hear that. And I'm not saying that that's a wrong way of thinking. But is it stupid to also think that, hey, maybe you need somebody that can contribute down to the bottom of the order? Maybe it's not the smartest idea to have somebody out there who can't play offensively and doesn't provide you really anything at all. A guy that consistently came up and killed you in the playoffs in 2023, came up in big spots numerous times and wasn't able to get the job done. And that's one of the reasons why you don't end up getting to the ultimate goal, getting to where you want to be at season's end. I get it. A lot of it falls on the guys that are making big bucks, but it's a team effort. Baseball is the ultimate team sport. It's the ultimate sport where one guy doesn't ultimately make that much of a difference if they're, you know, the star player, because you need the entire team to be good more than you just need one guy to be good. And so when you don't have that in a specific position and you don't have that in a large part because of Johan Rojas can't get the job done, it leaves a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths. It left a sour taste in mine for sure and was very discouraging, and discouraging again that he's probably going to be your number one or number two option in center field come 2025. It just feels like we're doing the definition of insanity of having the same thing happen over and over again, but expecting a different result. I don't care what he did in the Dominican Winter League. I just don't. We know he's got a good glove. Congrats on winning the Gold Glove Award and the Rookie of the Year there. I need to see it translate in Citizens Bank Park in MLB for me to truly believe in him. And look, that remains to be seen. Maybe he will do that come 2025. Jury is certainly not in his favor, and I don't think he's going to, but if I'm proven wrong, I'll come on here and I'll tell you that I was wrong. I got no problem doing that. All right, that's going to do it for me on this episode, guys. We'll see what the Phillies bullpen is come 2025. I expressed my concerns with that earlier in the show and then kind of just went on a Johan Rojas spiel because I hadn't done one in a long time and felt like I needed to when I saw that he was the Dominican Winter League Rookie of the Year and Gold Glove Award winner. But we do have high hopes for the Phillies coming up in 2025. This team can still do damage. They can still be one of the best teams in the National League. It's not going to be as easy as it was last year. You're not going to have the Braves be, you know, crippled beyond belief. You're not going to have the Mets get off to a terrible start. And you're going to have to deal with the Dodgers, the Padres, a lot of other teams. Diamondbacks, who just got Corbin Burns. You know, a lot of other teams are going to be good this year. But I still think the Phillies are going to be a playoff team come 2025. We're getting closer and closer to the season. I'm very excited for that. So keep it here on Phillies Today. We'll keep giving you guys episodes every week. I'll be back with you next Tuesday to talk more about the Phillies. Until then, get ready for the season. Get excited. Go Eagles, as always. Go Birds coming up in the divisional round against the Los Angeles Rams. Be ready for that. I'll talk to you guys next week. Have a great week and go Birds.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, it's three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schler of the Vasinga Truth Podcast. The playoffs are here, and that means the race to the big game is on. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I as we follow along this NFL postseason, breaking down the matchups each week and see who will shine when the lights are brightest. You know I speak nothing but the stinking truth. Follow and listen to Stinking Truth on free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.